older people in Ireland may have no option but to move out of their homes due to a potential shortage of carers. Now, the stark warning of a national crisis comes from Sage Advocacy mere days before the budget. The recruitment issues within the sector are being felt by families in Clare, with providers fielding calls from crying families begging for staff to even spend an hour with their loved ones. So what can be done to rectify the issue? Well, joining us on this are Sarah Lennon, the Sage Advocacy CEO, and Catherine Cox, who's Head of Communications and Carer Engagement at Family Carers Ireland. And a very good morning to both of you. Sarah, I'll go to yourself first. Older people being faced with little choice but possibly moving out of their home because they can't access the services needed to live independently is very sad. And for some of them, particularly those who really, really want to be cared for at home, a very, very scary prospect.
Indeed it is. It's very sad and, as you say, very scary. And I suppose the biggest issue is that it's frustrating because, you know, in many cases it's not actually a lack of getting the home care packages. You know, there are challenges with that in some parts of the country. But for many people, they're being given the home care packages, but they can't get the individual workers to do to provide the actual service. So it's avoidable. People want to stay at home. We know that for the most part. And, you know, if they are to move into nursing homes, they want that to be their choice at a time that suits them. And obviously what we're facing at the moment is a choice between people staying at home, maybe being cared for by family, or maybe being funneled in towards nursing homes, which definitely wouldn't be a lot of people's first preference.
No, and Catherine, the situation where, you know, families have to care for their older family members at home, you know, maybe it's a person's husband or wife, but in situations where maybe they're not around anymore, it's sons or daughters or whatever it might be. And for some of those, for a lot of them, you know, they've got their own lives and children and work in particular to deal with. It's not an ideal situation for older people who have no option but to rely on their family for care to be relying on them for care and support.
It's not, and I think for family carers, most family carers, and as Sarah said, most older people probably want to remain living at home, and most of their family carers, where there is a family carer, wants that to happen as well. But our point would be it can't happen without supports, and that certainly goes back to home help, home care workers coming in, paid home care workers coming in, and I suppose giving the carer the support that they need to care safely and confidently for their loved ones at home. But there's no doubt there is a huge shortage, and there is huge problems recruiting and retaining home care workers, because our own organisation, we're a charity, but as well as supporting family carers, we're also a home care provider. So we employ home care workers who go into the home, also providing high levels of care in some situations. And it is so difficult to either recruit or retain people, and there are many reasons for that. But the huge issue is there's no regulation around home care at the moment, and there's no statutory entitlement to home care at the moment. So there is a statutory entitlement to someone if they're going into a nursing home, the state will pay towards that and they have a legal right to that. There's no such entitlement to home care. It is coming. But, you know, we've been saying that now for 10 years. The government have started to work on it, but it could be another 2 years before we see that. And until we see that, home care will always be, I suppose, the poor relation, and will never get the supports that it needs for carers and people to be cared for safely at home.
Catherine, can I just ask you, what are some of the main reasons for that, you know, difficulties in not just recruiting staff, but then retaining them? You know, I'm sure the pandemic has played its part. Certainly the Department of Health have touched on the pandemic as one of the big challenges that affected older person services. But what are some of the main reasons why there's an issue with staff retention?
I suppose one of the reasons, certainly from our own perspective, would be that the HSE would employ their own home care workers. And we know that they are paying them a higher rate, so they are paying them travel, and they probably have pension entitlements coming towards the end of, you know, their care or their work as well. So they are offering better terms and conditions to their people who are working within the HSE. And what we found over the last while is that a lot, when we take in new home care workers, train them, upskill them, they get to a point where they're ready to work, and then quite often they're either moved or not quite poach, but they move to the HSE or maybe move to the likes of a nursing home where they would have more secure hours. They would be guaranteed their hours. As a service provider, we're not able to guarantee 40 hours because if a home care package stops next week, unfortunately, the payment from the HSE also stops to us, and so we cannot guarantee those hours. So okay. It's security of employment is certainly one of the big reasons.
Sarah, on that point that Catherine has just made then, I mean, if independent care providers can't compete with the HSE or with nursing homes, if, you know, for security of tenor and the terms and conditions, it seems to me there's very little that can be done about that.
Well, what we're facing, I suppose, is a short-term crisis where people are in their own homes and possibly trapped, you know, not being able to get out and about into their community. So we need to take measures, I suppose, in the budget to make sure that short-term measures are put in place, such as, you know, those pay increases and maybe equalising out the discrepancy there. But ultimately, this requires long-term vision here. This actually requires the government to start thinking today about what needs to happen to make sure that we put in place appropriate continuum of care for older people. So what I mean by that is that, you know, care starts in your home. It only moves to nursing home care if and when that's required. At the moment, what we have is a very fragmented care system. We have a clash of, I suppose, private on the one hand and publicly provided services. And while there's that kind of clash going on, it can be very, very hard for the person who needs the care to actually have the care that's appropriate for them and meets their needs as best as possible. So we're asking for the government to not just look at the budget in terms of the short term, although that is a crisis at the moment, but to consider what needs to be done, because we know Ireland is ageing, so this situation is not going to get any better for any of us as we all get older.
Yeah, and Sage Advocacy, you're looking for a commission on care.
Correct, yeah. So it's actually a commitment in the programme for government. So the government have committed to doing this. As we know, you know, that's about 12 months down the road now. It says in the programme for government that we need to learn the lessons from COVID-19 and how older people were cared for. I think it's really, really important that we do that now while all of those lessons from COVID-19 are really fresh in our minds and we still remember how older people fared throughout the COVID-19 crisis.
Catherine, what would you like Family Carers Ireland like to see the government do for older people in the budget?
So, look, we have five key priorities. One does look at the statutory entitlement to home care, which we've just spoke about. But for family carers, you know, they want to care for loved ones, but they can only do it with the proper supports. And a key issue or pressure right across the country is we call it a postcode lottery. The supports and services are not available in a carer's local community when they need them. It's very fragmented, inconsistent. So if a carer, for example, living in Clare, needs access to home respite, they may be waiting 3 years to get it, whereas a carer across the country somewhere else may be able to get that. So get rid of that postcode lottery. And the government, again, they promised in the programme for government they would do that by introducing the carer's guarantee. They released 2 million last year in the budget. We still haven't seen that come to carers, to family carers. So that's a big issue. And certainly, you know, we would like respite. Respite is a massive issue, again, for carers. And they need a break from their caring role. In fact, we have called for 20 days respite per year for a family carer, equivalent to what I get working as a paid worker. Why shouldn't carers get that minimum 20 days respite as well?
Catherine, Family Carers Ireland have a presence in Clare. Can you paint a picture of us of the situation locally and how older people in Clare may be affected by this potential shortage of carers?
I think, look, it's an issue right across the country and carers are telling us, and as Sarah mentioned there, you know, 2 or 3 years ago it was a case that a carer might not be approved for a home care package. Now what's happening is they're getting that approval, but there's no staff in place or there's no home care workers who can come in and provide the care. So it is a really, really difficult situation. It does require government's attention and it requires innovative thinking as well as to how we might address this. And I know Minister Mary Butler has set up an advisory committee with members from private home care and I hope from charities such as ourselves as well will be involved in looking at how we can address that issue in the short term, and as Sarah said, in the long term. I mean, other issues for family carers, only one in four family carers get carers allowance. That's a big thing that we're looking for in the budget tomorrow. Increase the disregard for carers allowance so far more carers come into that net and get the payment that they deserve. It should be based on needs and not means. So there are so many pressures, I think, on families, and, you know, not just families caring for older people, but caring for children, adults with disabilities. So we think budget tomorrow is a real opportunity for this government to recognise family carers and the people that they care for and support them adequately, and not continue to talk about it but not put anything into action.
And Sarah, Catherine mentioned the Strategic Workforce Advisory Group, which has been set up by Minister of State Mary Butler. It includes key stakeholders. How hopeful are you that that advisory group will make any sort of a difference to this very difficult situation?
I think for it to make a difference, as Catherine says, it has to be hearing the real lived experience. So Sage Advocacy has workers all across the country. And again, as Catherine has said, we've seen this issue in Clare, but we've seen it right across the country. So I suppose that having the involvement of advocates would be important too, and also home care recipients and their families, and making sure that it's really being influenced. All the policy from here needs to be influenced by the lived experience of people on the ground, so that it can be based in reality and not based on necessarily what can be provided, but what must and should be provided.
Catherine, the department itself has, you know, they're saying obviously that COVID presented a big challenge, particularly for older person services. They are saying also that significant progress has been made, that at the end of August, there were over 13.2 million home support hours provided to nearly 54,000 people. That's 2 million more compared to the same period last year, while approximately 478 people were waiting for funding approval, which is a reduction of 88% compared to the same period in 2020. That seems like good news, but on the flip side of it, apparently the department were warned that without a workforce plan, they would run out of staff. Was that a severe error or serious error not to put such a plan in place?
It was, and, you know, they do refer to the fact that the waiting list for home care services went down in the last year, but a lot of that was due to people obviously wanting to remain safe, not wanting the virus to come into their home, homes, and so they were removed from waiting lists for home care packages if they said they no longer required the care. And that might have only been through the pandemic. They didn't want people coming into their homes. So I would like to see that list looked at again, because I do think it's probably skewed towards that. And there's no doubt, you know, while more home care hours have been provided, the reality is they're not being put in place because of this shortage of staff. And also, you know, because family carers are expected to do this quite often on their own. And until almost they refuse, for example, an older person or a loved one is in hospital, and unless the older person themselves say, I am not going home unless I get a home care package, or unless the family with them say that, quite often that person will be discharged without any supports put in place. So it's come to that, where families are fighting to get these hours. And, you know, the reality is the cost of nursing home care is far higher in most situations than home care. So, you know, if we were to look at this in purely economic monetary terms, it is probably cheaper to care for more people at home. It's a preferred option, which is most important for the older person and in most cases for their family. So why not support that and allow carers and older people to remain at home, be cared for where they want to be, but allow them to do that safely with the proper support?
Sarah, you mentioned what Sage Advocacy wants to see for older people from the budget. The package is supposed to be about 4.7 billion euro, and the Taoiseach has kind of maybe put a little bit of a dampener on it for people, saying there won't be something for everyone in the audience. How hopeful or optimistic are you that you will see some or all of what you're calling for older people?
But I think Sage Advocacy will still be calling for it after Budget Day, because while we might get some measures towards, say, home care packages, maybe home care workers pay, for example, we may even see a slight increase in the pension. It's really a drop in the ocean compared to the cost of living and other costs for older people. And I think what we'll probably still have to call for are the structural reforms. They're always harder to achieve particularly around budget time, but they're absolutely crucial. Without them, we'd still be in the situation, we'd be calling for the same things in a year's time, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. So I think we'll still have a battle on our hands after budget day to look for those structural reforms, but we'll definitely keep calling for them because they're absolutely crucial.
Okay, well, hopefully, certainly for older people, we'll see some positives for them emerge from the budget. But of course, we're going to have to wait until tomorrow. Sarah Lennon, thank you very much. Sarah is the CEO of Sage Advocacy, and also with us was Catherine Cox, who's the head of communications and carer engagement at Family Carers Ireland.